Good morning. It's good to be together today, as it is every Sunday, to be together to worship, to glorify and honor our Savior and our King. And as every week, I am so thankful to be with you, to share in this time together in our study of the Word of God. This morning, we are continuing our discussion about the words of Scripture. We have the opportunity, we've had it this year, to do these daily devotionals from our study guides, to look at those with our families and with ourselves. And I hope and pray that each of us have been doing that, that we've been examining deeper the meaning of these words, of what the Word of God means to us, how it can change us, how it can give us hope. This morning, the term that we're going to be looking at is one of those terms that is foundational to our faith. When we hear the term gospel, you know, a lot of different connotations may come to our mind. We may think of gospel singing, or we may think of the four biographies of the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ found in your New Testaments, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There may be other things that you think about that come to mind when you think of the word gospel. This morning, I don't want to think about all of those things. I don't want to spend time on all those things. What I really want us to concentrate is, what does Scripture say about the gospel, about the gospel of Jesus Christ? When we look in our holy text and we examine the words for the gospel, we know that the word gospel literally means the good news or good news. The word in the Old Testament is basarah. It occurs only four times in the Old Testament, but each time it refers to good news. However, good news in and of itself doesn't really tell us much. You know, good news can mean a lot of different things depending on the context of how that term is used. If I'm talking about, the conception or the birth of a child, you know, that's good news. I've received really good news when I hear about the birth of my child. But in a scriptural context, well, that's not what it means, right? It's not what it's referring to. If I hear about a job promotion that I've been waiting for, that I've interviewed for, and I get the news that I've gotten a job, that's good news. That's great news. It's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. If I find out from the doctor that the cancer I've been battling is in remission, that's good news. All those things are good news. But are they the good news we're talking about when it comes to the Holy Text? Is that the gospel that's referred to so often in the New Testament? The word for good news, the word for gospel in the New Testament is a word that is very similar to another New Testament word, euangelion, which sounds or looks very much like the word evangelism. You know, evangelism is all centered upon what? Spreading the good news. Paul actually is the one who's most, the writer in the New Testament who most frequently uses this term of referring to the gospel. He actually uses it quite frequently. In the book of Romans, we find his use of the word 10 times. In 1 Corinthians 12, 2 Corinthians 9, 11 times in Galatians, and 9 times in Philippians. The only text that he doesn't use the term gospel is in Titus. All of the other books, all the other letters that he wrote, he used the term gospel. It was an important term to him because it was the center, the foundation of all that he did. And so this morning, I want to look at that term gospel. What is it? What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? First thing I want us to think about today was the gospel in a scriptural context, in the Word of God context, was first proclaimed by Jesus Christ himself. In the book of Mark, chapter 1 and verse 1, Mark, beginning his gospel of Jesus Christ, said, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." There in that very first verse of his book, he lays out the context for his entire book. It is all going to center upon that one thought, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In Mark, a little bit later here in chapter 1, Mark also says, "Now after John was put into prison, John the Immerser, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand.'" Notice, "Repent and believe in the gospel." Jesus taught a very similar message to John the Immerser, John the Baptist. With this one difference. In his message, John said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." When Jesus came, he said, "Repent and believe in the gospel." His gospel. Later in Matthew chapter 11, this time in Matthew's gospel, we find that John the Immerser has sent word to Jesus asking of him, "Are you the one? Are you the Messiah? Are you the Christ? Or is there another we should look for?" Jesus, here in Matthew chapter 11, sends word back and he tells the young man who's come there, he says, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up." All these miraculous activities are going on as evidence of his messiahship, of him being the Christ, the anointed one of God. And amongst all those miraculous events, he says, "The poor have the gospel preached to them." Luke, in his account, in chapter 4, and verse 18 and 19, says something very similar. But there he says that he, Jesus, had been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. That is, those two texts are a fulfillment of what Isaiah wrote about in Isaiah 61 in verse 1 when he said that the Messiah, the promised one, would preach good tidings, good news to the poor. Jesus came to preach and proclaim the gospel. That was at the heart of what he was doing. It was his ministry. In Mark chapter 14 and verse 9, again Jesus said here in this discussion of Mary, who's anointed him with a spikenard. And he makes a proclamation about her in verse 9, but it's not today, I don't want to focus on what he says about her, but I want you to notice what he says right before it in verse 9 about the gospel. He says that wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, this event will be told as a memorial to Mary. But what was the intention of the gospel? It was that it would be proclaimed throughout the world, that all men would hear the gospel, all women, all children would hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that would hear his message and respond to it. That was revolutionary in his time. In the Jewish mindset, we are the people of God. Jesus brought about stark change to that mindset. And it formed the ministry of the Apostle Paul, the apostle sent to the Gentiles. In Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 16, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." That includes the Jew and the Gentile. For the Jew first, and also for the Greek or Gentile. For in it, the righteousness of God in what? The gospel of Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As written, the just shall live by faith. The gospel is such a powerful message that it reveals the righteousness of God. And it was that gospel that Jesus came to proclaim. It is that gospel which Paul continued to proclaim unashamedly. It formed the basis of his ministry, of both Jesus Christ and all of the apostles. Number two, when thinking about the gospel, we know and understand that the gospel was lived out by Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9, Paul writes, "For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring day, night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you." Why? What were they laboring for? What were they trying to do? "We preach to you the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ." Paul labored. He toiled over the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says to the Corinthians, or writes to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." There are all kinds of things in our lives that fight for our attention and our focus, that try to pull us away from all the other things we're doing and to give attention to them. Paul said, "I don't want any of those things. The only thing I want to know about, the only thing I want to focus my mind and my attention on is Jesus Christ and him crucified." It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that held his full focus and attention. Paul warns the Galatians in Galatians chapter 1, beginning at verse 6 and through 9. He says that there were some who were already trying to change the gospel. He said, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ." Even in the first century, there were false doctrines. We mentioned this morning, I believe, in Bible class about the Gnostics. Gnosticism was trying to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. There were already those who were trying to change the most key of elements to our Christian faith. Paul says, don't believe them. Don't turn away from the God-given gospel of Jesus Christ to something that isn't real, that isn't honest, it isn't truthful. And then in verses 8 and 9, he provides two serious warnings. He says, if someone comes, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Paul says, if I come and I'm trying to preach something different, if you hear an angel of the Lord preaching something different, don't believe him. Let him be accursed. As we've said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Paul is emphasizing the need to hear truth and to hear the gospel that was intended to be preached. It brings a question to our minds, an important question. What exactly is the gospel? There may be all kinds of thoughts that float through our mind, all kinds of different, maybe possible explanations. How about we let the Word of God define itself, define its message? Paul does exactly that. The inspired writer, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that part of God that brought down this information to him. And so he wrote it to the Corinthians. He preached it to the Corinthians. He preached it to the Galatians. He preached it throughout the world. Everywhere he went preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. What was that gospel? He answers that for us in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, moreover, brethren, beginning at verse 1, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you. Okay, he says, I'm declaring it to you, what? The gospel that I had already preached to you, what? The gospel which also you received. What did they receive? The gospel in which you stand. What were they taking their standing in? What were they holding on to? What was their foundation? The gospel by which you also saved. What saved them? The gospel. If you hold fast that word, what word? The gospel, which I preach to you, the gospel, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you first of all, of most importance is what he's saying, that which I delivered to you of most importance, that which I also received. Where did he receive it? From the Holy Spirit, from Jesus Christ, from God. That Christ died for our sins. That he was buried and that he rose again, according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas or Paul, then by the 12. What is the gospel? It is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the death of Jesus Christ. It is his burial and it is his resurrection. You want to know what the gospel is? You want to proclaim that gospel to others? You need to know that it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm going to repeat those because I want us to understand what the heart of our message is. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. It is that which we should preach. It is that which we should declare. It is the message that the lost need to hear. That Christ died for them. That he was buried. And that he rose again to give them hope. And it is through the gospel by which one is saved. Notice the chart above. It lays out exactly what we're talking about. From 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, Paul identifies exactly what the gospel is. It is the death of Jesus Christ. It is his burial in the tomb and his resurrection. That was the heart of his message. That's why he came to the earth. Was his main focus, the death, burial, and resurrection. The gospel was proclaimed first by Jesus, it was lived out by Jesus, and it is the source of Jesus' grace and forgiveness. Second Thessalonians, Paul is talking to a group of Christians who are suffering under heavy persecution. And he's trying to encourage them to keep going on. And so he reminds them that Christ is coming again. And that when he comes, he will raise them up in glory. He will save them from this evil world. Verse 7 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul writes here, "And to give you who are troubled rest with us. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels," he'll be revealed, there'll be no one can miss it, no one's going to be able to ignore it. It is going to be obvious when Jesus returns. He will come not in secret, not invisible, but with a shout, with the sound of a trumpet, with his mighty angels. Notice verse 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance. Paul told the Romans, speaking from the perspective of God, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord." The Lord owns vengeance, justice, and judgment. And when Jesus comes back, it will not be for this purpose of bringing the gospel again. It will be for the purpose of bringing judgment unto this the lost and dying world, taking vengeance on those. Now notice there's two groups he's going to talk about here, and it's important we understand there are two groups he's speaking to. On those who do not know God, those who deny God's existence, those who deny God's power in their lives, those who have ignored God, Jesus is coming to take vengeance on them. Those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Two groups of people who are going to hate to see the coming day of our Lord. Those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel. I don't want to be in either one of those groups. So we think about it, all right? I don't want to be in the group who does not know God, so how do I overcome that? I've got to know about God. I've got to go to the source. I've got to go to the holy text. I've got to learn about God, and I've got to learn about what God wants me to do. I don't want to ignore God. I don't want to act like he doesn't exist. I want to make his commands. I want to make application of those things in my life. I want to acknowledge his existence, his power, his might, his strength, his intelligence, his power over my life. I want to know God. And I want to obey the gospel. I don't want to be in that group who do not obey the gospel. That brings an interesting question. How do I obey something that's already taken place? I can't go back and die with Jesus. I can't be buried with him. I can't be resurrected, right? How can I obey something that's already taken place? Well, Paul answers that question for us. In Romans chapter 6, in talking to a group of Christians, remember Christians, who've already obeyed the gospel, there's three groups of people. There are those who do not know God, there are those who do not obey the gospel, and then there are those who obey the gospel. Three groups of people. You're in one of those three. We are all in one of those three. Those who do not know God, those who do not obey the gospel, and then those who do obey the gospel. The church in Rome had obeyed the gospel. And in chapter 6, Paul reminds him of that in a discussion about sin. Here a group of people have become Christians, And there's arisen a debate among some in the church over whether we should continue in sin or not. Whether sin may be a good thing because it brings about the grace of God. And so Paul asks a rhetorical question in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. God forbid that we as Christians would do that. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? We're supposed to be changed. Have we changed? Or do you not know, verse 3, that as many of us were baptized, immersed into Christ, were buried, or baptized, I'm sorry, into his death. His death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism, immersion, into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified, died with him, that the body of sin buried might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, that we should be resurrected to newness of life. Did you catch it there? Did you catch what he's saying? That in immersion and obeying baptism, what do? Being obedient to baptism, we're being obedient to the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In baptism, we are crucified with him again on that cross. We're putting ourselves back there. We're dying. Then we're buried in baptism, just as he was buried. And that through that burial, resurrection occurs as we come back up. We are reenacting the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that just as the Romans had obeyed, we too obey the gospel. So that when Jesus comes back to take vengeance on those who do not know him and do not obey his gospel, I don't have to stand fearful of judgment. Because I have done what he's asked me to do. I have obeyed the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We think about our lives. We think about the condition of our spirit. Have we obeyed? Have you obeyed the gospel? In Romans chapter 10, Paul, in talking about the need for preachers, I'm not talking about pulpit preachers, but those who will proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, how shall they call on him whom they not believed? How shall they hear, or how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher, a proclaimer of what? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Sent to do what? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. The gospel of Jesus Christ, who bring glad tidings, gospel news, or good news of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. The gospel has been proclaimed. Some have obeyed and some have not. This morning, some have obeyed and some have not. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. This morning you have heard the gospel. Do you have faith in God? Faith in his gospel message. Are you willing to be obedient? Jesus said in Mark 16, 15 and 16, go, he says to his apostles, he says, go into all the world and preach what? The gospel to every creature. We all need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He does not believe. Will be condemned. Do you believe? If you truly believe, then obey the gospel. For those of us who have obeyed, we need to be reminded, as Paul reminds the Philippians in Philippians 1:27, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Those who are already Christians, or those who have already obeyed, are we still walking worthy of the calling of Christ? Are we still walking worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ? This morning, you think about your life, your spiritual condition. Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you done what God has asked of you? If not, why not do so today? You've heard the gospel. You've heard what it means. Now it's up to you whether or not you'll respond. Let me encourage you, as now we stand to sing this hymnal, that you'll take this opportunity to do that which you know is right. Will you not come to obey the gospel as we stand and as we sing?